This episode is brought to you by Rockstar Energy Drink. Be honest, are you procrastinating by listening to this podcast? It's okay. You just need Rockstar Focus. Choose from three delicious flavors, each crafted with ingredients for an ideal energy and mental boost, like Lion's Mane, 200 milligrams of caffeine, and zero sugar. Visit rockstarenergy.com to learn more. At least 75 milligrams of caffeine has been shown to help improve attention.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Welcome to the Who Are You Wearing podcast. I'm Kira Pritchard-McLean. This is my podcast. I am the host and I love clothes, I love style, I love fashion. So I thought rather than low-key stalk everybody on Instagram, I would create a podcast where I get to just ask them outright, where'd you get your clothes, mate? Yes, please. That's what you're listening to now. I love it. It is just one of my favourite things to do. So I just want to say off the bat, thank you so much to people who come up after live shows or who message me via social media and say how much they love this podcast. It is my passion project, so I love it when it resonates with other people. Episode 10 of Series 3 is with Desiree Birch, a phenomenal stand-up comedian. As you'd expect, this chat is just funny from the off, but it is also, I mean, if you've seen her stand-up, it is in keeping. It's unflinchingly honest and so insightful. And I finally found someone who has the same problem with the length of T-shirts in modern day, I was going to say Britain, but I think it's a global issue, the length of T-shirts around this goddamn planet that I do. Now, Desiree talks beautifully about the realities of growing up fat and the sort of societal prison of being stared at yet also never seen. And so there's big themes in this episode. We talk about racism, we talk about class, we talk about fat phobia. We also got full Mary Portis and chat about the impact of the high street disappearing, and in particular in relation to plus size shoppers, which is something I don't think I'd considered at all until this conversation. This episode was recorded in March of 2023. Desiree was at her home in London and I was in my cupboard in Wales. If this is the first time you're listening to the podcast, I record most of the episodes in a cupboard. Absolutely normal stuff. Now, as you'd expect, Desiree has a real way with words that is a delight to sit back and listen to, including citing her style as, and I quote, exotic bird. It's an aspirational style. Might have a little flirt with that in 2024. So please sit back, relax, and enjoy me asking Desiree Birch, who are you wearing?
I mean, I think it would have been like going to church, obviously, because there's a difference between what you wear, whatever, and what you wear on that Sunday when your mother is like, you're not going to embarrass me in front of people I never talk to and don't know, but who obviously be judging, because why wouldn't they? Because that's what people are for, according to my mother. So if you're a fat kid as well, clothes are always an issue. I mean, so many of my memories are of meltdowns in a shop somewhere, you know, with my mother because she was trying to, you know, buy me clothes for school. And it was so hard, you know, in the 80s because the fat people didn't exist. And so they were just clothes for grownups that I hated, you know, like it was just like, I was just always in a business suit, you know, like, because I was just like a a little 8-year-old certified public accountant, you know, like walking around in shoulder pads, shaking hands, making deals, making sure the gents had coffee for the meeting because it was the 80s after all. Going to church was like being in a Hillary Clinton suit, although it wasn't a pantsuit. It would have been like a skirt suit or maybe a dress. And I remember there were pictures of me in like dresses that my grandfather bought for me when I was young and whatnot. But like what I first remember was that feeling of getting into something, you know, uncomfortable for the Lord. Just because Jesus wants to make sure that you show up in a little bit of suffering so he could be like, see, it's not that fun, is it? So pray. You're like, okay. So yeah, I wish it had gone the other way. Like I put on a tiger suit and I felt amazing, but I never had any cool, cute clothes. They just didn't make them for me. I had grown up clothes. So it was just about finding the thing that was like the least embarrassing.
So did you have a strong sense of style as a kid and you just couldn't express it? Did you know like, oh, I want to wear this? Or was it just trying to make it work from what you got? Or is it at the point where you are divorced from how you look in your body?
Yeah, I think I was so divorced from myself and my body that it wasn't, you know, what I wanted was to not feel so invisible in my family and my world, which, you know, I said, and it's like, well, how can you be invisible? You're so noticeable, you know? And that's the horrible yin-yang of being growing up fat. It's just that, like, you both, like, everyone's looking at you and nobody's looking at because nobody wants to. And there wasn't anything to just be like, hey, you're a kid and you can wear things that, like, I just wanted to be like everyone else, basically, you know, even though someone should have dipped in and been like, babe, that's never happening. But still, like, you're going to be everyone else. For me, I just wanted to kind of be like the other people I saw. And, you know, I didn't have the parents that were going to pick up on every trend. Mm. You know what I mean? Because they just weren't, you know, like they just were like, I'm not going to spend money on that. And you're like, I want to wear this thing. And they're like, we're not getting you those things. You know, like, I mean, at some point I had like a Reebok pump shoe and I was like, yes, I've made it. You know what I mean? Like I finally have a thing, or like I had one hyper color t-shirt and I was like, oh my God, yes, I'm finally doing a thing that other people are doing. But it started out being just like a lot of sweatsuits or something, because I guess that's just, you know, my mom's just like, well, one, I think for all kids, it's like they just every year they're just outgrowing like by like leaps and bounds, like everything. You know, it takes a while before you can own something that you own for longer than even a year, you know, at max. Right. So, you know, from a practical standpoint, I can understand her just being like, just get stretchy things that she can wear and it's fine. And, you know, and whatever. But it, like, I just kind of like looked, I was like, I was going to go to a gym, which clearly wasn't what was happening, you know? And so, it's, that was the early part of it. And then I think, you know, obviously poverty comes into play, as many who are listening will attest to the fact that you're just like, you want the thing and you're lucky if you even get a knockoff of the thing, but like you're probably not getting that, you know. It was a lot of going to swap meets. So like buying clothes off a back of a truck and a tarp. You know, because like you go out to like, you know, there's a big parking lot and everybody set up a thing. And that's where like mom's getting school clothes for everybody, because like I completely understand why that's where she's getting school clothes for everybody, because that's where you can afford to go, you know. So, yeah, it took me a long time to come into my body. I'll say, just as a life's mission, I think, you know.
You mentioned your grandfather buying you a dress. Who was dressing you? Was it mum? Were you working together on this? Or was it just you'd get stuff from cousins? Like, who was putting your little Desiree looks together?
There's a couple adorable pictures in like a cute dress, but that was mostly like in the early days. Like there's a story of like, oh, my grandfather bought me a bunch of dresses so I could go to kindergarten and go to school for the first time and all that kind of stuff. And so I have some pictures in some of those. But basically from there on, it was my mother who was doing the dressing. And I think probably until around middle school, which, you know, it's going to be like 11, 12, mm-hmm. 13, something like that. Those ages, like those sort of tween ages is when maybe I'd start to, I have a school picture in a t-shirt that we did like splatter paint on, because that was a thing you did in the 80s where it's like you spin it on the thing and then it makes a little whatever, you know, everyone's into tie dyeing and splatter painting things. So I have like a memory of being like, oh, okay. You know, I made this at school from a t-shirt and like, that's what I want to wear. You know, it's got glitter paint on it and puffy stuff. You know, like I remember that era when I got to middle school and it was like starting to kind of develop a little bit of not my own style, but just like, I'm going to be like these other girls and do like what all the other kids are doing, because that to me seemed so new and adventurous, because I couldn't do what all the other kids were doing for most of my life, because I just wasn't, you know, like I couldn't shop at the same shops at all, you know. So it was like, oh, if I can wear something that other people are wearing, like, cool, you know, like I can do it too. Yeah, it would have been my mother who was just putting whatever on me. And I think I didn't really get conscious enough about that, or as much about that, until I was like a tween, when it was starting to be like, okay, you know, like I've got boobs, you know, like what's happening.
Yeah. I'm so interested, because normally when I chat to people, we normally talk about fashion has been, especially in childhood, a way to either like assimilate or a way of standing out.
Yeah.
And yet with all of your identities and how they intersect, and, you know, growing up without much money, I imagine as well, growing up as a black woman in your country, and also with being like a fatter kid, that you've got this weird thing as well. So like you say, you're invisible, but also there's a crazy amount of risk, if it's even capable of standing out and being your own person, that like you've got those dual identities going, yet you do stand out. You're immediately othered and marginalized, and I cannot even fathom how that would have been and what it would have done to your sense of self and your relationship with clothes, like all the tools that other people have had to like, oh, I could express myself this way or that way, you just haven't got, and everyone else's version of you is painted onto you. It's just tough, right?
Yeah, it's at some point I think you just realize that clothes are not going to be your language. Now, I as a grown person, it's like, well, thank God I discovered theater and things like that, because I understand how a person can transform themselves. But, you know, and it was great to when I finally was an adult and I moved to New York, because everyone wears black and you're like, great, finally my people, we're all just wearing black and getting on with our business. Brilliant, you know? And if you have something in a cool cut, great. If not, you're wearing black, keep it moving. But it was a desperation to try to fit in so I could like just get a reprieve from everyone being like, hey, fat. Like I wasn't a fat kid, I was the fat kid, you know, in a white middle class suburbia. That was me. Wow. I was the fat kid. And you stick out because you're not as wealthy in a neighborhood that is becoming increasingly more so. Like it came from being like a dirt nowhere town where two freeways intersected to being like a very moneyed part of like, not Orange County, it's in LA County, but it's close enough to Orange County to have that vibe of like, we're Republicans because of our money kind of vibe. And so I just knew, like, I was like, well, I'll live later. Let's hurry up and grow up now and do really well so I can get out, you know. And I there are many young people who, for whatever reason, are just like, well, just bide my time until I can get the hell out of here. There was only so far I could go when I was younger. I was just like, I really want this. And it's like, well, it doesn't fit you. They don't have it. Or, you know, I'm not going to even look because we don't have that kind of money. And that's a shutdown. And then at some point when you're like, actually starting to have more of an adult body and it makes more sense for you to be wearing adult clothes, then you start to go like, oh, but I want this or that. You know, I mean, I remember the fast forwarding, but like, you know, in high school, like trying to get the prom dress, you know, and I think one of the years I definitely had to just get something made, you know, because there wasn't anything. It was like, you know, it's like if you were a size 20, you're not going anywhere fancy. No shop would carry it. So it was a constant, like, it seems like such a, it's like, why do you keep harping on the same thing? But it was just like, it was everywhere and it was everything. And it was every single day of just trying to like exist in a way where I could like get by. So, it, you know, the more that I could sort of focus the attention on everything above the neck and what I could say and think and control, the better. Because everything below was just sort of like waiting for someone to like feel some kind of way on a Tuesday and say some shit about it, you know? Sorry to bum you out.
No, but it's so much, isn't it? And like, there's a world in which we would love to think that like it's fixed, but it's not. Like, you know, there might be slightly more options now, but all the tenets of the like oppression are all still there.
Yes, for sure. I think it's probably just evolved its form. Like in America, you could go to any store and buy fat clothes for a fat kid, and I know that because I've bought some and worn them. Like I bought a jumper with a pink jumper with a unicorn on it that was definitely in the obese teen section. Like it was for like a 13, and I was like, okay, this is America now that we're like a Target or a Walmart or whatever, we'll have something that will continue to expand for people to be able to shop there. And it's great that people who are younger than I am get to grow up in a world where they can shop at the same place, even if it is Walmart, because a lot of their schoolmates are shopping there too, or whatever it is, that they can go to that place and find some clothes or find the same shirt that their friend has in a size that fits them. Yeah. Like, it seems like such a small thing, but it's massive for somebody who's 10, 11 to just be like, I get to wear the same thing as my friend.
Yeah.
You know, like, I would have loved that.
Yeah. Were you ever put in anything that you hated?
Yeah, I think there were, by the time I got to be around 13, 14, like the pushback started. I think the only place in which I sort of pushed back was, you know, because I was mostly like a dutiful middle kid, like just keep your head down and do your work, you know. I remember a year of like going to get school clothes, and there was one of these Melanie Griffith and Working Girl style dresses. Like it was a button all the way down dress, and it had like shoulder pads and it, like, you know, kind of like if it buttons all the way down, it's got the split in the middle.
Yeah.
So you're like, so you're not only your legs rubbing together and doing this thing, but they're also exposed as well. And you're just like, God, why did no one think about this? You know, and it had a dickie. Is that a thing? You know, like it's like a fake shirt. Like it's like
oh
a fake
God,
cami
yeah,
or
that,
a fake
they were
thing
big here
attached,
for a while. Yeah.
Attached to the inside.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So I just was like, I don't want to be in this. I feel dorky and weird and like sad and like encased like a sausage in this dumb thing, you know? And I think at that point or after that point is where like the fights from behind the dressing room door would start, you know? And I think I remember being at a dress barn, like sobbing inside of a, you know, inside of it. I mean, we've all been inside of a dressing room sobbing before, keep it real, you know, but just like sobbing and be like, I want to la 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 la. My mom being like, la la la, you know, it's just a back and forth. And ultimately she's going to come back with a like, well, there's nothing else you can wear. You know, there's a hard stop to the argument.
Yeah.
Now there is. Now it's like, yeah, there is. Let's get the hell out of this shit store and go to a different one that actually serves people my size or goes up to that size. I mean, that's rare. That happens at like a Target, Walmart, like a superstore type of store. Usually I'm going to like, you know, a segregated store. But I mean, you know, whether it's by size or whether it's like your little black hair care product section, it's something that you just get used to, even though it's so supremely fucked that that's a thing that I'm saying out loud. But, you know, in so many ways, it's like, oh, here's a shelf for you, you know? And I'm sure anybody who's listening to this who's a fat person is like, yep. You know, where they're like, I mean, these days you kind of, it's depressing how many of the shops that did exist are going away or going online, which means you have to buy four different sizes of one thing and be rich to even wind up with something that you actually like and then send it back and contribute to all of the, you know, pollution and the carbon footprint that all of that costs rather than being able to go into an actual physical, like Simply Be or whatever, you know, like that was the one that like it left Oxford Street and I just was like, sad because I was just like, there was one place in this whole area that I could go and try on a dress and like feel like fantastic about it and spend too much money on it and have that experience of shopping. And now I've just got to go like hide like, you know, Nosferatu or some shit in the dark at my home. Be like, ah, did my ASOS package arrive? Excellent. And then go try them all on and hope that they work in the real world, you know, under like normal lighting and shit. So yeah, it's weird to kind of always be sort of relegated to something else because I mean, when I go back to the States, like everybody fat, and post pandemic, everybody fat. So it's kind of like when they talk about people of color as minorities, it's like, we're the global majority. Like, majority people. Stop talking about minorities and stop reinforcing this idea of, like, you're a minority, but, like, all the minorities together are the majority. Actually, you're the minority, you know? You can look around and just be like, a lot of people expanded sizes and went into elastics and whatever. So can we stop pretending that everyone needs to not only pay for some kind of diet cure so they can then pay for this article of clothing? Like, we're not all Parisian, sorry. Some of us got meat on our bones and we need some clothes, dear God, because otherwise you're just gonna be faced with all this flesh. So take your pick.
Yeah, because also the average dress size is at what, UK 16, which is a double XL, I think. Because I picked up something the other day and it was like a large, which is a size 12. And I'm like, what in holy hell? How could you ever say that anyone who's a size 12 is a large
anything? It's a large person, yes.
Is there an outfit that you loved and you really felt like yourself in that you never wanted to take off? It might have been an item of clothing, it might have been a whole outfit, but in this tricky period of you being like a young person navigating all this, did you ever think, yeah, this is the one?
There was an article of clothing, at least the one that leaps to mind that does come up, that I didn't take off for years and years, and I probably should have. Like, I wore it to disintegration, and it was not good for many years, but I still wore it. And I don't even know, it was made out of science. It was made out of only science. You know, like, the materials couldn't have been, had to all end in an X. You know, like, there definitely was nothing natural about this article of clothing. I knew when you asked me to do the podcast that I would wind up talking about this article of clothing. It is, so my mom would sew things. She had sewed me a cape once, like a coat, sort of like, I think once I moved to New York, she's like, I'm going to make you this thing. Cause like, you know, I went to school on the East Coast. So once I was there, she was like, oh, you're so far away and the weather's so hard and whatever. And I mean, she never visited like that area until like I graduated. So, but she just sort of had this concept of it being a native Californian. So, you know, it was like, oh, you're going to need these things. But, there was something that she had worn. So she had had this sort of, I mean, I guess muumuu is the best way to describe it. It was just like, yes, attached to the shoulder, a little sleeve to probably about here, and then just a straight shot down, no shape, leopard print, yeah, like muumuu. Yeah, so I kind of looked like a Flintstone, basically. But it was just like, it also was made out of X, spandex, whatever, poly, whatever, right? Like, it just stretched. So, I mean, I wore that thing. Like, I look at pictures of myself from university wearing that thing as though it's a top or just like a whole dress. And I was just like, Des, you just went to class in your Bam Bam pajamas, like your Betty Rubble, you know, Wilma Flintstone outfit, you know, like you just, and I was just like, I mean, I can't recall when I threw them. I might have made it to New York City with that outfit. Like, there would have been, you know, 8 years or something at least that I had that thing. I was just like vibing with like this all-in-one, even though I'm like so anti-dress. I'm like, this is fine because this isn't a dress. This is just pajamas, you know? But I'm going to wear it as though it's like super cool or style it out with something or maybe put a belt on my pajamas. And it's like, girl, take your pajamas off. Like, when I look back now, I'm just like, oh, girl, you wore a good 4 or 5 years past its prime. You know, by the time I got it, I should have only had it for like a year or two, and I stretched it for like 8. It was like a Hanukkah outfit. I just made it work. Just stretched it all the way out.
But very sustainable.
Yes. I mean, I hope that makes up for some of the clothes I've had to order in plastic bags that are mailed to me.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud. Or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda. Whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
This episode is brought to you by the Weather Channel. It's suggested that brands avoid using sound effects in podcast ads. And remember to speak in a chill tone. Well, here's a suggestion for everyday life. Tap into the Weather Channel app. It's loaded with insights that help you manage your allergies, breathe easy, and
use your outside voice.
What in the weather are you waiting for? Be a force of nature with the Weather Channel app.
When you were growing up then, when you were a teenager, young person, what were the big trends? And were you even able to experiment with them, or did you just feel like a complete bystander to all that
stuff? I was mostly a bystander to it, but the trends were like, I remember some of the things that I did where it was like all the cute, like middle school tweeny kind of stuff of like things like tie-dyed t-shirts or hypercolor t-shirts that would change with your body heat. And I would wear with a snap bracelet. Like, it's all about accessorizing, right? You know, we'd all go to the Sanrio Hello Kitty store and buy like that kind of stuff to go with things too. But I'm trying to think, once I got into high school, there was a lot of, it would have been the 90s, so there was a lot of like grunge, which I probably could have gone in for, but I just, like, I didn't want to wear oversized clothes because I was already big, you know. It's like, I want my clothes to be form-fitting because like bigger clothes just make me look bigger. They don't make me look like I'm a small person in big clothes. They just make everything look huge. So like wearing baggy jeans was like not going to be there, and ripped jeans. I mean, I don't know that I would have wanted that or that my mom would have let me out of the house wearing clothing that looked like it was torn, you know. It was just not, that wasn't a thing. And then like there was the, you know, everything that you think of when you think of Guns N' Roses and Kurt Cobain and all of that. I think by the end of the 90s, it's like, again, accessories. One wonders if it was because of the people that I hung out with or just because of the fact that the fashion style of being goth was black, that I was just like, I'm just going to wear studded choker necklaces and all black and hang out with kids who are wearing all black and do that. You know what I mean? It's like, I wasn't a goth, but I'm like, I could do this all black thing and I can certainly listen to The Cure and The Smiths. So it's on, you know? So at least that was available at some point, just to be like, I'm one of those kids. And I mean, I wasn't, but those were my friends. And so I would just do that.
Coincidental goth.
Yes, exactly. Yes. Like, yes, exactly. The accidental goth, the coincidental goth, I would totally do. And yeah, I missed out on. And then it was the grunge. And it was also like the FUBU, like, you know, backwards pants, like, you know, hip hop kind of slouch look or whatever. And none of that was stuff that I could like actually do, aside from getting those like LA Gear shoes or like the Reebok, you know, like basketball pump shoes. Like, I wasn't, and honestly all my mom cared about was like shoes, because she was like, you just need good footwear. Like, I mean, it's true, like I have flat feet, just you need something supportive. So she would spend the most money on the shoes, and I also have big feet, so I was wearing boy shoes. I could pull off as a cool thing now, but at the time it was the last thing I wanted. Clothes were just like, whatever, you know, you're just gonna be wearing something new in 6 months to a year, so whatever. Put these painted on stretch jeans on. I remember a lot of painted on jeans at some point in those tweeny and high school years. They literally would have like decals or things painted on the jean, you know what I mean? Where it's like, oh, you've got a little print painted on it, or you've got like this part, they've sewn a little piece of like pleather and like a, you know, like a cat face or something on them. Yes. Yeah.
Love it. An embellished jean.
Yeah.
Did you have a rebellion at all? And if so, would we have seen it in your clothes?
Not really. I wish I could give you a more robust answer, but I didn't really rebel because I was just trying to survive until I could leave. You know, my rebellion was probably like getting into a university that was 3,000 miles away from where I grew up and deciding to go to that one and not the one that was in LA. I think that the sort of the accidental goth times were the beginning of that rebellion. At some point, I think I turned 18 and I was hanging out with like a friend of a friend, and that's when all of the like smoke smoking, and then drinking for me, I didn't like the taste of drinking, but I would smoke for like years. I was just like, I don't give a fuck. Don't get me wrong. Smoking's great. It's just terrible, but it's great.
When I think about you and your style, color is the first thing that comes to mind, like strong colors.
Yeah.
I also think of, I've never really seen you wear something that is like not an interesting texture or not a kind of luxurious texture.
Awesome.
And also, you're so right, is it's mainly aimed up top.
Yeah.
Like, so the focus is all sort of like drawing everything up. So that, when did that start showing up?
I mean, I reckon that's probably something from my adult life, I think. You know, I think the practical reasons for that, I would say, are, I mean, one, as far as textures are concerned, like, who doesn't want to feel good in the clothes that they're wearing? And so I just feel like if something feels a certain way, then you're just going to keep it around or you're going to favor it more. You know, we all buy clothes and go like, oh, that could work well. And then there's the ones that you think are going to happen and the ones that actually you wind up wearing, you know? So like, yeah, I'm wearing this jumper because the inside of it is the kind of like fleecy thing that's just like, it feels like a stuffed animal. And I'm like, okay, that's what I want to feel. I'm smaller on top than I am on bottom in terms of like, you know, like I've got the sort of aubergine shape. So like, I mean, I just never understood anybody who was fat at all who would like belt their pants underneath the belly. I'm just like, why would you do that to yourself? I mean, there was that terrible time when everyone was wearing low rise muffin top jeans, like, you know, that like, oh, like where it's like your crack would come out and like that whole thing. And it was like all like, oh, God, just projectile vomit up the walls, like just the worst fashion time in history. I'm just like, why is that the thing? Why is everything low rise? And like, what exists in popular culture is always sort of copied in other ones, you know, so you'll see copies of that at like a plus size store that you're like, what are you doing? But I mean, maybe that works for some people, depending on where you carry your weight. I just was like, I don't understand why I would wear a pair of smaller pants that only go to my pubes when I could get a pair of larger ones that would like just sort of deal with the whole, you know, the whole kit and caboodle. So I think because I've always had to sort of wear large shoes because I've got a big foot. So I would say most of my shoes are men's shoes. It's very, except for ones that I, where I'm like, oh, let me, I can, you know, find this sandal or this whatever. And I've now like, oh, I can find a place where I can pay 100 to 200 pounds for a pair of shoes that are women's shoes that are actually can dress up and actually are supportive. Because if you buy a pair for 20 quid, you're going to be in agony.
Yeah.
And even though it looks like the same shoe, which is, it's not the same shoe. It won't be supportive. And, you know, there's only so long you can live in that. So I think it was like, okay, well, the shoes are going to be, you know, trainers. And the bottom's just got to, like, kind of contain the thing. But what I can do is focus everything on, like, and I think it's just an awareness being like, well, I got this quality rack I might as well show off. Because as far as bodies are concerned, right, you know, if you've got legs, tits, and ass, like, which one of yours is working? And I'm like, it's my tits, you know what I mean? At some point, it was my legs as well. You know, I have decent legs, but it's my tits, you know? So I'm going to focus on accentuating the positives, which are all up here, and the rest is just sort of a platform. Yeah, and I didn't think I just did that so that I could figure out ways to like deal with the midsection, obviously, because it's just like, well, it's got to go in there. Otherwise, I don't know. Otherwise, you're splitting it in half or you're getting, you know, like if you've got a gut, you've got to decide where the border is.
Yeah,
and what
I agree.
What the deal is in between.
Yeah, because there are just so many like, it makes so difference on the cut of things of where it hits your gut, you know.
Yes.
Like, yeah. Is it gonna hit above it so it's assimilated into the thing? Is it gonna hit the middle of it, which accentuate? If it hit underneath, which is like, it's here. Everybody, look at that. You're so right. You're so right.
Yeah, and it's like, I mean, do you have a top long enough, or are you that person that's just like, my belly is out. I'm going to the convenience store, the flip-flops. My belly is out. It is summer. You know, if you have the body confidence to do that, oh my goodness, please do that, you know?
Yeah.
And I love now when I see the people who are just like, I'm wearing the skin-tight dress, so it hugs this, and it hugs all the middle globe, and it hugs my legs, and I look cute. And I'm like, yes, you do. Good.
I love that.
You know, but for me, I'm kind of like,
love that.
I like an empire waist, girl. Like, let's focus up here. And then the rest of it is just a drape. where I can do my business.
Do you think of hair and makeup as part of the outfit?
If I'm getting dressed up for something, yeah. Like today, no. Today, my hair is the way it always is, up in a ponytail holder. That is the look. The pineapple is the preferred go-to look. It's not even a look. It's just like, get this hair off of me because otherwise I'll be sweating, which is terrible because I have cute hair. When I wear it down, I love it. And then I'm sweaty. So it's only a part of the look if it is like if I'm thinking about an audience, if I'm going out to a formal event or if I'm going to be on TV, and obviously there'll be makeup, but like the hair is a whole other thing because so many people don't know what to do with it. So you kind of have to go like, okay, what's gonna, yes. But to me, I'm like, this top needs an updo. Or I actually think this one works better with my hair down, you know, so like, and then the makeup is there to kind of hopefully pick up a color or something from the outfit or whatever, whether it's lipstick or on the eyes, you know, there's going to be something where I'm like, I'm referencing that, or I'm creating a whole other vibe, you know, where it's like, I'll do the sunset look on my eyes and like, this has got this other color. And I kind of feel like an exotic bird. I feel like exotic bird is also my fashion. Yeah. Like specifically the hair, if it's where I want the weight to fall. So like, I feel like pulling it up and elongating it just elongates things. And so if I want that, then I'm going to be like, I'm going to err on the side of an updo. And then sometimes every so often I'm like, no, I can wear my hair down and we can have fun with that. Ugh,
love it. Are things getting better in terms of makeup artists and being able to like do your hair even?
Things are getting somewhat better in terms of like people actually show up with a product or two that might actually make any sense going on your hair. Right, yeah. You know, where you're like, okay, you have an edge tamer or whatever. But I mean, I think this is my own independent way of judging things. And I don't know how it is for other performers with other types of hair. But as far as I'm concerned, when I go into a makeup artist seat, I feel like this, I trust this person and I know what they're doing if they start with my hair. Because everybody starts with your face. And I'm like, girl, I have great skin. My face is not hard to make up. You're just going to get lost pretending I'm a little makeup doll and putting stuff on my face. And it's unnecessary. It really is. If you spend the time making my hair look good first, even though it's going to get grease on your hands and you might have to wash that off or whatever, then I trust that you understand that I'm a Black woman and my hair is not going to be an afterthought, because you can't just pull out a curling iron and in 10, 15 minutes have it looking cute. Like, you know, you're going to need to put some and a lot of times I'll say like, hey, can we wet my hair now and put a little whatever on it so that it has time to kind of loosen up and be more malleable, so that by the time you circle back around to get to it, like, we can do something with it. Because by the time they spend an hour on my face, I'm like, okay, so what do you want to do? I'm like, with 15 minutes, nothing. Like, get some bobby pins out and let's put it in a place. Because, like, obviously, so I'm relying these days, unfortunately, sadly, I'm relying on them to not really understand that. And so I'll say, okay, let's at least get my hair moisturized so that it's not going to look as super dry by the time we're done with it. And you can actually put it somewhere and do something. And then you can go spend your time on my face, which honestly doesn't take that much time. You know what I mean? You could do that in 45 minutes or even 30 at a push and focus on my hair if you knew or if you had any ideas. Yeah. So it's getting better in terms of people kind of having taken that one class that somebody does where they talk about Afro hair for more than no days, you know, where they're like, oh, I took this Black hair course. And I'm like, good for you. But yeah, in my mind, if somebody starts with my hair, I'm like, okay, you know, what's up?
Interesting. Are there any trends that you've repeatedly tried to pull off, but it's just not happening?
Oh, a Bardo top. A flippin' Bardo top. Get the fuck out of my face with your fucking, I'm not a size 12 with size 24 titties, all right? I'm like, okay, this bitch is wearing this without a bra. No, no. You know what I mean? Like, you got a C cup or bigger. No.
Yeah.
Like, not only is the titty sweat out of control, but it's just like, it hurts.
Yeah.
Like, now that I've had good fitted bras that support me, if I don't wear a bra, my back will hurt at the end of the night if I do that all day long, much less for weeks and weeks. Oh God, no. Like, I have to wear something. Even like slack, like spongy sort of like, oh, clothy bras or like a bralette. Get the fuck out of my face. Like, if you do not come with the proper scaffolding, we cannot build anything here. So anything that is meant to be worn, low backs, you know, like, I'm just like, you're about to see a big ass bra with a tag sticking out of it, if that's what you do, because, you know, there isn't, and even if you try to get those like push-up bras, you know, like a long form one or something, it's still, they just don't, they're just like, there's just a titty trough. They're just like, bleh, you know, like it doesn't. So anything, and I mean, I bought one so that I would have it. Like I have one in my possession that's like, just in case I need to wear something, just in case I need to be a 44-year-old bridesmaid and wear a dress that is like, but anything that is just a, that is, that doesn't have something to cover the bra straps here in its cut. And I mean, I can do a halter top, and I can do those like J-hook bras that do that in the back. And then it's like, huh, and it's like choking you out. But that's way better than having the back pain of not wearing a bra and having just like, you know, my nipples point due south. Like I just not... Anything that is braless can go the fuck back
home. I agree. Because when it's braless as well, you take my best asset and you turn it into like a visual nightmare.
Yes, exactly. I want these to be serving realness, to be serving poppin' titty realness. None of the sort of like, girl, I'm depressed and I'm fighting with my sister kind of fucking look. Like, fuck that. No. Oh, the other thing is anything that is made for ass. Like, it's a tricky thing because they assume if you're a big woman, you have a big ass. I have a flat fucking ass. It's all party in the front. No one's hanging out in the back. You know, they're just like, oh, there's no place to sit there or whatever, right? But like, there are certain things that are made to be like, so for me, like a cheeky pair of panties or like, you know, even
what you
the
mean.
The
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Yeah. Like I'm not wearing anything that's like high waisted. Most of the gunt's fallen out of that size.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just like anything that's like G-stringy, a thong is another thing that I was like, I'll try this out, because all these other women are like, why are you wearing anything but a thong? And I'm like, coverage, ho, coverage. All right. Literally all of the bits that I'm trying to cover are outside of the thong. Like, why should I do this? I want a full brief. Give me the brief.
This is your typical radio ad while eating a Crunch Bar.
This is Automatic of Otto's Used Cars. This weekend only, we're having a whale. Bring the kids. See for yourself. It is huge. Gonna make a big splash. No other dealer can say they have a whale like this.
When things sound dull, turn up the fun with Crunch.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Is there an item of clothing, and this can be a specific piece, or this can be just like a type of clothing, like Doc Martin boots, but is there an item that you put on and you just always feel great in?
Yeah, I guess the first thing that leaps to mind is the cowboy boot again. I always feel great. I always feel like I can, you know, it's like you're like, I got a point. I got a hard point. I can kick somebody with this point. or a really nice men's loafer. Like guys have, you know, I'm like, guys have really great stuff. So anytime I put that on, you know, like I have a pair of sparkly sort of, they're like a silver shiny loafer, and I'm just like, oh, I like that, you know. And I like a spread out toe box. I like being able to do this. I like things not being constricted.
I mean, they're very good answers. A cowboy boot is an excellent answer.
Yeah, I just like, you know, and I mean, I say that knowing that they can be extraordinarily uncomfortable if you like get it wrong, you haven't worn them in, they haven't been stretched or whatever. Or like I have a pair of riding boots that I love, even though I've been on a horse once in my life, you know, but any kind of a boot feels pretty good. Yeah, I would say that's probably, that's probably it.
They're great. Shopping. What's your relationship with it now? You talked earlier about there being, you're so right, there's so few spaces for non-straight size bodies on the high street. I mean, the high street as it is yeah. It's shrinking yeah. anyway.
Yeah.
So are you someone who likes to go in, you like to try on, you want to touch stuff, like, or are you quite happy to do a big haul, send stuff back? Like, what's shopping like for you?
Yeah, I mean, I think that I have to do the big haul and send stuff back most of the time. My preference mm-hmm. would be generally to walk into a place. I understand that you probably get better deals online or this or that, but I also like... Eloquii is a U.S. brand that's like a plus size brand, and they used to, and that's when my heart fully broke. Like, the Simply Be on Oxford Street was like, you know, chip cracked it down the center. And then I found Eloquii, and they had a shop in Soho in New York, and I could go to Soho where all of the other fancy people shop and go fancy shopping myself in a place mm-hmm. where, you know, they're like, I love a plus size shop because there are other big women in there who understand yeah. what your body is and be like, and they're like, oh, actually, I think you'd look great in this. And like, then this woman brought back like these things that I did look great in. And I was like, oh my God, you know your body. So, you know, my, like, we all go like, oh, you're fat here. And so mm-hmm. this would really work well on you. And there's that experience is just gone. Like, in the past, you've worn everything from a size 18 to a 26. Like, what? Do you know what I mean? Depending on what yeah. the cut is, who made it, you know, like, because I think they just like take a straight size pattern and then just make it bigger as opposed to thinking about mm. like where the weight falls or anything like yeah. that, you know, they got one for everybody, you know, so it doesn't really make sense.
You will feel my pain over this. When you get t-shirts and you go up a size, but they don't get longer. So you've got massive tits. And then yes. the t-shirt finishes like halfway across yeah, your gut because it's
yes.
We need more material to go over
to
the
go
boobs.
Over because we have a boob there. Yes. Yes, yes, 1,000 times yes. And every single fat person has a place where they're like, why do they always make clothes that don't fit here or are too big here? Mm. So like for me, I'm like, why do they always make the armhole like bigger than a head, you know, to fit through? And it's like, yeah. you know, like, why is it always one armhole for everybody who is the size? It's just a strange, this is strange. Like I was just so disappointed when they closed that down because I was willing to go in there and drop like, you know, $600 in a visit yeah. buying like cute articles because I knew I could mix and match and wear them with anything mm-hmm. and they were well made, you know, yeah. and then they sort of discontinued it and they sell some of their stuff at Walmarts now because why make anything well made anymore? Or online, or you can buy it online. So I now have the disposable income to spend some money on something that's well made and well cut, which means that I have to spend more money and hire a tailor, basically, because you're not going to get the, you know, you're not going to get the thing you're looking for. You're going to get a cheaper material.
Do you enjoy shopping at all then?
No, not the way that I have to do it now. You know, because it's mostly online. I don't like online shopping because it's a chore. It's just scrolling mm-hmm. through things and waiting for things to load. I'd rather walk into a place and look at some colors or look at or at, like have someone help, you know, and have mm-hmm. it be a community task as opposed to spending 2 hours looking for things to, you know, because I'm just scrolling through being like, okay, I'm going to have gigs this year. Let me buy some tops or like I need some, you know, so that when the time comes around, I'll have something. So I don't have to do it every single time I have like a job to do where you do yeah. just are expected to wear new things or new combinations of things or whatever. And so you're just looking for the next thing. You spend all that time doing that. And then you spend all the time when they arrive trying them all on and being disappointed and being alone, getting yourself in and out of a thing with a back zipper, stuff like that, you know, and seeing if you have a shoe that matches. And then you have to go to some random corner shop at the right time when the printer's working to send it back.
Yes.
And it's just like, as opposed to just returning it to its place on the rack so somebody else can get it or having someone else being like, ooh, that's cute. Where'd you find that? Like there was, once I graduated from shopping with my mom to shopping on my own, there was that lovely little bit of community that, you know, I was allowed to have with other women who were like, oh, cute girl, you know, and it was just really sweet for us to have a place where we could feel like cute and communal and whatnot too. And it hurts me more than I'm able to articulate that that's been taken away.
I do these things in my local community called Swap Don't Shop. So swap events where you bring your like five best things that you're not going to wear, but you've been holding on to.
Yeah.
And you get tokens and you come back and swap them. And we did one in Cardiff. So I'm doing them around the country. And me and my my best mate, who's a bigger girl as well. And I don't know what size she is, but she donated something. It's about 26, something like that. So there's for a start, there's a broad range of sizes donated, because I also know that anything that isn't straight size, trying to find vintage or secondhand can be a nightmare. And this, we were sat there going, look at this atmosphere, because it was a load of women who didn't know each other who were like, oh my God, you have to get that. You would look amazing in that. Or like, there's something over there that's like, oh, I donated that and I've worn it once and I had the best time of it. And it was so feel good. And I said to her, I was like, can you ever remember going shopping in it feeling like this? And she was like, no, especially not as our size. And this slightly older woman, who's a bigger girl as well, she said, I knew I was going to have a good time as soon as I saw you two in here. Because she was like, I've never been in a shop where there's been bigger bodies around. And she had armfuls of stuff. And she was like, it's so great. And she was like, I've had such a fun afternoon. And she was like, I can't remember ever having fun shopping. And, and like, there's no money exchange. They just bring food for a food bank. And it was just, it is ridiculously wholesome, which shows, like, there's no infrastructure there. It's literally an Eventbrite and me and some mates. Like, that's like women helping women in that case. Shopping doesn't have to make you hate yourself. That's a choice that businesses have made.
Yes, to be like, you should hate yourself, but buy this because it might save you.
Yes. Yeah.
That's awful.
Imagine if someone just dedicated a bit of time to having a really good, feel-good, plus-size, you know, like shopping experience. What you find is straight-sized people would come along for the experience.
Just to be like, wow. You know, like, it's like everyone's so supportive of each other. And so, like, and I love what you said of, like, I wore that once and I had the best time in it. And, like, I hope you do, too, because, like, that's why I have two bags of clothes still in this closet for a year. Because I'm just like, I want to put these in the hands of someone who will enjoy them as much as I was able to, because they were nice and they were made of nice stuff, you know, and it will last. And I just, like, I'm like, I'm not going to wear that anymore, or I only bought it for this thing. But, like, somebody else could have, you know, it could have a second life, and somebody else could have a much better time than they would have in some flimsy thing that they got at any of the sort of, you know, any of the shops that we're all shopping at, buying things online, essentially, you know? So yeah, I love that.
I'm going to steal those items for the, we're going to do a swap.shop in London. You need to come.
Great.
With
Please. Yeah. I would love that. I was like, please tell me when it's coming, because yes, some people need to have some cute things.
Is there anything, have you got an item that's the best thing that you got secondhand or thrifted, charity shopped, anything like that?
I'm trying to remember some things that I got when I was in, was this Calgary? I was in Canada and I was on tour. This is before I moved to the UK, and I'm trying, and we went to three different, it was with a show called Untitled Feminist Show, and it was like six different bodied women dancing naked. It was great. we went to Toronto, Calgary, and I don't think we did go to Vancouver. I think I did that on another trip. But anyway, so I can't remember which of the towns it was, but there was a fat secondhand store. It was a plus-sized secondhand store to get like vintage, you know, for whatever, how far back that's going to go in fat size clothes store. And it was one of those like, oh my God, I can get something that's actually made out of material with a liner or something. And I got like some blazers that were cool. And I'm trying to remember, I don't know if I still have anything from that, because I would have been well over a decade ago that I had done that. But I remember having gotten so many like secondhand things from that and just being like, oh my God, what an incredible experience.
In the future now, do you see your style changing again? Are we going to go back to goth? Are we going to go back to the Flintstone outfit? Or are you, is this it? You've actualized.
My style is changing a little bit. I'm starting to incorporate a lot more blue into my looks than I used to do. I was very much more a warm, a red, orange, yellow, you know, and I'm starting to go into cooler tones. I've got a midheaven in Cancer. And so my, you know, astrology says that I should be wearing more oceanic blue. But like, I've been trying to embrace that with not only with like jewelry and sort of stones and whatnot, but like in colors and things that feel a little bit more flowy, or throwing on a blue eyeliner instead of a black one to kind of make my eyes pop. So I think I'm trying to kind of get into my middle-aged older lady sort of graceful flowy stage a little bit, you know, mm-hmm. and trying to incorporate a little bit more of that vibe into things. I mean, I still love a nice cut and a man suit and things like that. And I also, you know, because I have that sort of quirky vibe, I love, you know, colors and shapes and textures that are just different. But I also am trying to bring in a little bit more of the like, hey, I meditate now kind of vibe, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Just something that's a little bit like, hey, I'm a lady and I have things, you know?
Are there any trends that you're hoping never come back?
That low-rise fucking jean. That I don't need to see a tramp stamp or a butt crack ever the fuck again. I mean, the thing is, because the fashion always cannibalizes. We're up to the 90s now. Like, we went through the 80s, yeah. But like not even in a good way.
Oh, no. Y2K is
it? Yeah. So now, and I'm like, if I see another Britney Spears fucking low rise piece of shit, I just light it on fire in effigy at a protest in Trafalgar Square. Like, that's no. And also, like, at what point do we just catch up to now? And it's just like, so we're all just going to wear elastic now forever, right?
Perfect. When a snake eats its tail. Is there an item of clothing that you can always see yourself wearing? And that can, again, be a style or it can be an actual piece.
The first thing that came to mind was pink. I think after just pink, just generally pink. It's something that I think because of my teenage goth days of wearing black, black, black and being hard, that I bounced back from and went super sort of girly and childish. And so there were like any time that I see something with a streak of pink or some kind of thing in it, I'm just kind of like, I need to embrace that thing because I think I eschewed it for a while because I didn't think it embraced me. I think it's that childhood thing of being like, I don't get to have the same enjoyment that everybody else gets to have. I'm always going to wear pink. I just always am going to, even if the only other color I wear is black, the second color will be pink.
That's gorgeous. It's a beautiful answer. Final question. What do you wear to be buried, cremated in? What is your final outfit?
Oh, okay. Yeah, I already have thoughts. Ideally, what I would like is I want to be buried in one of those mushroom suits. Like, I want an eco burial where I can biodegrade underneath a tree or have something planted atop me so that my memorial is something that is feeding off of my dead body. You know, the mushroom suits help that happen faster and, like, you know, compost your body, basically. It's made out of, like a mycological, like, mushroom fiber.
Oh, wow.
So it helps your body to decompose, and for the suit actually can turn your body into some like mulch faster, basically.
Wow.
So yeah, it's essentially like, you know, to help you so that you know, because then they just wrap you in like a wicker or something that isn't going to take so long to eat through, or even just in the canvas bag or whatever after you've had the ceremony and everybody's been able to do that. Like, they just put you in the ground so that you can decompose kind of at the rate of anything that would be there decomposing. But so it's made out of like mushroom fiber.
Gorgeous.
Basically. But I remember, so I saw this woman give a TED talk once, and she had this sort of like Asian Tilda Swinton vibe, you know, like that very sort of ethereal, mm-hmm. like not quite here, and she was in this sort of androgynous blue suit, but it had like just a little bit of like, oh, here's a star, here's a bit of light, or here's whatever, you know. And I was just like, I want the suit, I want the mushroom suit, I want it to be like in a space blue black, you know, and just little bits, and for everyone to be like, oh yeah, like Desert is always weird and spacey, and now she's returning to the cosmic elements whence she came. That's what I would like.
Oh, that is such a good answer.
Thank you.
Of like eco and also still galaxy.
Still galaxy. I mean, you know, don't shoot me into space because we're already in a rock hurtling through space. There's no point. But, you know, just as a reminder, we all came from the space stuff. You know, we're all somehow going back toward that.
Oh, Desiree, what a phenomenal woman. Full disclosure, after thinking on it, and I have thought on it deeply, that mushroom suit she wants to be buried in has absolutely sent me under. And it sort of put me off mushrooms. Takes all sorts, doesn't it? Also, we just did the Swap Don't Shop in London that I mentioned to Desiree. And it was, again, very feel-good, very great. I whacked some of my sparkliest bits in, including a dress. Oh, this is beautiful. It's come full circle. Including a dress that I wore on Frankie Ball's New World Order that I did with Desiree. A beaded number, a mustard beaded number. It sounds awful. It was absolutely lovely. And I was sad to let her go, but I did. I let her go into the universe. And I hope whoever snagged her is having the best time. She's really heavy, though, so do prepare for a sit down. I want to say thank you to Esty as well, who got in touch via Instagram. You can message us on Instagram. Sometimes it's me who sees it, sometimes it's Joe. We are at Who You Wearing Pod, so you can message us on there and see pictures of all our guests and their clothes as well. Esty said, "Hi, Kiri, thank you so much for this podcast. It's an absolute joy, and I genuinely squealed with glee when I saw the first post of the new season. That has made my heart sing." And Esty signs off with, "P.S. I just bought my first sequin dress since childhood and I give you full credit." Well, thank you very much. I will take that credit, although it sounds like you were buying sequin dresses as a child and now imagining you as some kind of Richie Rich figure. Enjoy it. I'm really glad you are enjoying the series. I can't believe the end is in sight. We've still got more episodes, but not many left now. Oh, God, it's absolutely flown by. Now, in each episode, I take the chat with my guest as an inspiration to have a little scurs about a small business I think my guest would love. Because that is one of my favourite things. I say my first favourite thing is dressing my friends from my wardrobe. Like when they're like, "I need something for a wedding," or "I need something for ABBA voyage," as happened the other day. And I was like, it was the most hold my beer moment I've ever had. When my friend Jess messaged me and said, "My mum says, have you any sequin jumpsuits?" And I was like, yeah, have I got a few. Anyway, my second favourite thing is finding a small business that someone would absolutely love. I have annihilated it this week. Desiree hates a Bardot top, will not go without a bra, and boy, do I hear that. But I also hear there is a business out there that has our backs and our tits when it comes to going braless and having a Bardot top, as well as many other cuts. It is the female-owned indie Manners London. Now, it's owned by solo parent and entrepreneur Sally. Manners London basically specialises in really well-made, well-fitting basics. Colloquially, I've heard her referred to as the titty witch because, yeah, this is clothing that you can wear without a bra that supports you, even if you have massive tits. I don't believe it either, but I've seen the proof and I've heard friends testify to this. I mean, like, you can hear the cynicism in my voice, but I promise I'm gonna invest and report back. So the brand was started about a decade ago. Sally was living out in Bali and was just struggling to find clothes for her own body in Bali. So she worked with local tailors to refine styles and get a couple of pieces, find the right materials. And then when her and her son relocated back to the UK, they had a couple of bits. And so she starts a business. She does what single mums do and absolutely hustles, as well as getting a law degree, sets up a stall and starts selling these pieces and just sees the demonstrable difference in the women who are coming along and trying these things on and kind of feeling themselves. Gosh, she is amazing. And she's, you know what, her passion for the brand just sings through everything that she does. So the clothing comes in sizes 4 to 36. And what started as a few sort of basic pieces is now a full range. There's incredible jumpsuits on there. There's beautiful dresses in so many different styles and even swimwear. So although I absolutely hear you, Desiree, braless is a no-no for me too, but I'm tell you what my New Year's resolution is. I'm going to try it with Manners London and I will report back honestly to you. I've got my eye on a acid wash jumpsuit, so I'm going to try that, I think, and maybe I should get a Bardot top, right, to just really test it to the limit. So watch this space, and let's hope that space isn't swinging by my ankles. My next episode is with a really phenomenal human who inspires me daily. She is Welsh. It's one of the few Instagram accounts that I check in every single day to see what she's wearing. She's absolutely brilliant. It's Rachel Pridmore, aka Rachel Boo. See you then.
Who Are You Wearing is produced by Joe Southard. The artwork is by Mary Phillips, and the music is by Annie Glass. This has been a Little Wonder production.